Our reading this morning is from Psalm 37. Psalm 37, a psalm of David. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself of the one who prospers in his way, of the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They will not be put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke, they vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart, his steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree, but he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless and behold the upright, for he is a future for the man of peace. But transgressors shall altogether be destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him.
The psalm says that there is something wrong with our world, and it makes us fret, verse 1 of our psalm. It's something, a word I'm glad I'm not trying to say through a face mask, fret. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Fret is a great word, isn't it? I think a fretful person, to get into a fret, it's a species of anxious, gnawing anger. I'm upset, I'm worried, I'm annoyed because of a world full of evildoers. And it is strongly connected to a very ugly emotion. Verse 1 again, be not envious of wrongdoers. So there is something wrong with our world. It is that our world is full of evildoers and wrongdoers. And whatever it is that they are doing well. So turn on to, am I allowed to cough? You're a long way away. Turn on to verse 35. Verse 35, and here is the situation. Verse 35, I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. At this time of year, if you get the right kind of rain, you get trees that really go for it. Strong and wide and tall and covered in thick green leaves, really prospering. That's verse 7 as well. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way. Our world is full of evildoers, and they flourish like a spreading tree. And our English translators, they've made a decision to change a word for us in verse 35. They've switched the order of some Hebrew letters to get us a particular species of tree, which is a little bit pointless because you've seen the footnote maybe that they actually don't know what kind of tree that tree is. So they've guessed laurel. But the original word there says native. The word native, a native tree. And every other time you find it in the Bible, it's about the full citizen being native born as opposed to being a refugee or a stranger. And that maybe the translators don't know much about trees and they couldn't see why David would care about a native tree, the wicked man spreading himself like a green native tree. But David was a tree expert. He lived in a wooden palace. His biggest international alliances were deals about timber. His psalms are full of trees. And being a native tree is a big deal. At the last election, our government promised to plant 30 million trees a year. And you can bet that any money that's available for tree planting will be for native trees only. Native trees, the ones that belong here, they go in the soil and immediately they find everything that they need. The climate is right, the soil is right, the drainage is right, and more than that, the whole ecosystem is right. Tree roots, do you know this? Tree roots only do half the job for a tree below the ground. The rest is done by huge networks of fungus. And you need the right fungus for the right tree. Plant an American tree in Somerset and it is running on roots only. Plant a native tree and the fungus says, hello, friend, and starts accelerating the growth. And the pollinators and the predators and the things that eat the fruit, it all just works for the native tree. And that is what David understood about our world. The wicked, ruthless man, he seems to slot into life like a native tree. Everything is set up for him. The climate is right, the soil is right. In politics, at work, doing deals on eBay, wherever it is, the wicked man just looks like he belongs. He is the native here. And the righteous, the blameless, the generous, the meek, it's like they've been brought in from America or a different planet, actually. This world seems to suit evil. And all the systems and models that actually work in our world, they recognize this. They run around greed and incentives and laws to match that. But then along comes Jesus, the Lord Jesus, quoting verse 11 of our psalm. And he says, just look at verse 11, the meek shall inherit the land or the earth, he says. Now that is a bold claim. Meekness is an extraordinary virtue. The dictionary definition of meek, it's all about crouching. It's about bowing down before a superior. It's about bending. It's about giving way. And David and Jesus, they say that meekness will win. That the final name on the title deeds will not be the person who elbowed and pushed. It will not be the person who cheated and schemed. It will not be the strong one and the violent one. It will be the meek, patient, faithful one. Meekness wins. Everything belongs to the meek in the end. So here is a psalm for people who want to trust God in a world where the evildoer feels like the native, and he or she does well and grows and prospers, and where it is easy to fret and envy their successful, effortless life. Now, just before we look at what the psalm says, give me 2 more minutes of introduction about the way that the psalm says it. So this is not a normal psalm. This is much more like the book of Proverbs. These are wisdom sayings set to music. So let me read to you Proverbs 24, verse 19, which says, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers, and be not envious of the wicked." Sound familiar? It's our verse 1. Or look down at verse 16 in the psalm, while I read to you Proverbs 16, verse 8, which says, "Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice." So this is a psalm designed to make you think in the same way that Proverbs do, which is important as we read it, because that means that we don't need every verse to be true all of the time. That's not how Proverbs work. I looked up the most popular English and Chinese proverbs, England apparently is all about love. So here's the most popular English proverb: "Absence makes the heart grow fonder." And China is all about work. So here's the most popular Chinese proverb: "A man grows most tired while standing still." Good proverbs, aren't they? Those two, both of them brilliantly, are good for lockdown. We couldn't go and see the people we love, and we had to stay indoors and do nothing, and it was exhausting. But are they true? "Absence makes the heart grow fonder. A man grows most tired while standing still." Well, not in a scientific law kind of way, are they? Not as in 100% true all of the time with no exceptions. Not that kind of way. I spent last week in Scotland doing the opposite of standing still on holiday. In Scotland, it is wet and cold with gale force winds. And I assure you, standing still would have been less tiring. And no one really thinks that the best way to boost your relationship is to go away for a month every single time. But the Proverbs are true. They're helpful. They're generally true. They're thought-provoking. They help you understand life and live here. Laziness is tiring. And often you realize how much you love someone when you can't see them. So look at verse 25. Verse 25 is a true proverb written by an old man who has seen a lot of the world. And he says, the world is not actually set up for wicked people after all. It looks that way when they're doing well, but he says over the whole of his life, righteousness protects from hunger. You haven't proved the Bible wrong if you find one hungry, righteous person, but this is to make you think about how the world is in general. Alec Mateer has written a brilliant companion to reading the Psalms, and he says these verses broadly true and always ultimately true. Let me read that again. I think it's a good way of putting it. Broadly true and always, ultimately, in the end, true. So I've got 3 headings for 15 minutes in this psalm. First one, don't fret about evildoers. Don't fret about evildoers. And in this psalm, there is a real emotional richness to how it feels to live in the world where the evildoer feels like the native tree. So tell me if any of these describe how you feel. Verse 1, fretful. That's that anxious, annoyed kind of anger. Or envy. Life is so easy if you're allowed to lie and cheat. Look at what they've got. Look at what they get away with. Some of the lockdown anger, I think, has been around. Look at them on the beach, in the park, getting away with breaking the rules. Or verse 8, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. I don't know if you read the news this morning. In just today's European news, you have a retired king getting off a plane in the Middle East because he is under investigation for corruption. And you have the man who is known as Europe's last dictator standing for his sixth election and expected to win a landslide again. That's just the European news. And it is easy to be angry, isn't it? Sometimes it's right to be angry. Racism and hashtag Me Too and corruption and injustice. It is right to stand up to wickedness. But there is a personal anger about how you've been treated and about the success of the wicked near to you that eats you up and tends only to self-harm. So verse 8 again, fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. It will hurt you if you give yourself over to that kind of anger. There is another way to approach this life, the fret not life. For the evildoers shall be cut off, verse 9, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. And there's Jesus again, isn't it? Who's going to inherit? The meek shall inherit the earth. If you believe that, then even when evil is spreading its branches and all the shiny fat green leaves, well, then you can wait patiently for the Lord, knowing which names go on the title deed in the end. And instead of fretful, envious, and angry, there is a different way to live in a difficult and unfair world. 7 out of the first 8 verses here, they begin with a command. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Verse 7, be still before the Lord. And that you can call this what you want in terms of modern psychological theory, cognitive reframing or whatever. But David knew how to help us live in this world 3,000 years before CBT was invented. So the wicked seem to do well, and that is annoying and threatening and difficult. And it is natural to fret about that and be angry about that. But David says there is a better way. Better for you emotionally now and for society around you, and better for your future. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. So look less at the evildoer and more at Jesus. Make a decision to trust him and live as if he knew what he was talking about when he said that the meek will inherit the earth. And if you live like that, that means, verse 3, you can do good. If everyone else is getting ahead by doing evil, then it makes sense to say, well, if you can't beat them, join them. That seems to make sense. That seems to fit the natural soil of the world where we live. But don't do it. Keep on doing good, even if there is no rewards. And verse 4 is about training your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. That would be a very good use of a summer. If you want a project for this summer, how about training yourself to delight in the Lord? And what has the Lord done for you? How has the Lord treated you? How good and kind and faithful is he? And you could make lists and you could collect verses and you could review your life and you could think about the cross or about the story of God's people in the Bible and train our hearts to delight in him. And verse five is all about decisions. When you could save your job or your business, if you just did what everyone else does and step across the line, lie and evade and break the law. And verse 5 says, take a bold decision and commit your way to the Lord. It's the flip side to verse 7, isn't it? Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way. Instead, commit your way to the Lord. And each one of those commands is deeply, deeply practical. And they will serve you well, whether the problem is the bullies at school, or the unfair promotions at work, or the injustice in society, or some very specific, deeply painful, evil device that has been carried out on you. Don't fret about evildoers. And the psalm sings its way through a load of different proverbs in order to tell us why we should make that change. And the main reason throughout is the future. So verse 1, do not fret, for verse 2, they will soon fade like the grass. So right now, the wicked look green and healthy and strong, but soon they will fade. And through the psalm, there is a repeating pair of outcomes, one for the wicked, one for the faithful. If you're taking notes, you need verse 9, verse 22, verse 28 paired with verse 29 and verse 34. So let me read to you halfway through verse 8. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. Why? For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Look to the future, see what happens. See what happens to the evildoer and what happens to the one who waits for the Lord. So point two, fret not because the Lord will cut off the evildoer. The Lord will cut off the evildoer. So remember, this is the book of Proverbs we're singing this morning. So this is broadly true now in every field of life and then always ultimately true when Jesus judges the living and the dead. So have a look at verse 35 again. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree or like a green native tree. Take a snapshot, and that is how the world looks. The dictator is rich, the bully is promoted, the liar avoids the fine, and the cheat goes home with your money. But verse 36, he passed away. And behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. See, it's very, very easy to see the successful evildoer in their pomp. He or she, they splash the cash and they show their glory. That's verse 20. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They're like grass, really green. And then the Lord takes his mower and he will cut off the evildoer. And we all know that that is the pattern, if we think about it. Dictators fall in the end. Imelda Marcos, she had to leave her shoes behind. The whole point of the Swiss bank account and the late night plane ride to Abu Dhabi is that the green grass gets cut in the end. Harvey Weinstein is in jail. Jeffrey Epstein died in jail, apparently after months of paying other inmates to leave him alone. And then his money went on paying the lawyers to argue about whether it was suicide or murder. Ratko Mladic, he stayed out of jail the longest of the butchers of Bosnia, but he was arrested in 2011 and was convicted in 2017. And the psalm says, just look again. Look at verse 10. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. Or verse 13, the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The Lord is not taken in by how permanent they look, so we don't need to be either. Or verse 14, the wicked draw swords and bend bows, but verse 15, their sword shall enter their own heart and their bow shall be broken. That's the normal pattern. Evildoers, they prosper, certainly, but not for long in general. And often the fall, it is sudden and crushing, and frequently it is their own weapons that are used on them in turn. And while they live large, it is still better, verse 16, to have the little of the righteous than the abundance of the wicked. And other proverbs would tell us what it is like for the wicked, what it is to live with the anxiety, the distrust of other people, how that tends to go with huge wealth gained wickedly, not to speak even of the greed, that is a hunger that can never be satisfied. And even when there are exceptions, and there are exceptions, this is Proverbs material, and there are Pol Pots who die in their beds. But when Jesus says that the meek will inherit the earth, he knows what that will mean for him personally. He has thought this through all the way to the end, because for him, it means that he will die. Jesus was crucified because he was meek. He didn't prevent Caiaphas and Herod and Pilate from killing him, even though he could have done. And they went on ruling afterwards like rich green grass. But Jesus, he was vindicated after his death and raised from the grave and ascended into heaven to sit at the right-hand side of the Father. And the day is coming when Caiaphas and Herod and Pilate will stand in a line to be brought before him as judge. And he did tell them at his own trial. He said, they said, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And he said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." In other words, you will see me again, and there is perfect justice in the end. This psalm, broadly true now and always, ultimately true. Don't fret, because the Lord will cut off the evildoer. And then point three, don't fret because the Lord will make the faithful inherit the land. The Lord will make the faithful inherit the land. And the psalm, again, it wants to say in general that is true. If you look over a decade, maybe, life goes better for the righteous than the wicked. There is not the shame, the fear, there's no discovery waiting, there's no great fall. Maybe there's something here about the dynamic of those who get helped when time is hard, who people will rally round and feed. But beyond that, beyond a decade, look again at those four verses with the paired outcomes that are repeated. Verse 9, verse 22, verse 28 with 29, and verse 34. They are rooted in the Old Testament understanding of a promised land to inherit, of a place that God swore to give the children of Abraham. It's the promise that Jesus repeats for all those who trust in him. It's all over the Sermon on the Mount, which is where our second reading came from. It says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." Says, "Lay up treasures for yourselves in heaven." Says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." So there will be a final inheriting. And the Lord will decide then who will hold the title deeds. And the Lord, he laughs at the wicked, and he will not be bought or pressured by any of their tricks. So verse 9, verse 34, the land will be for those who wait for the Lord. Verse 22, it will be for those who are blessed by the Lord. Verse 29, it is for those who are righteous. Verse 11, it is for the meek. Extraordinary thing to say. The meek will inherit the earth. And the Lord sees the day of the wicked coming and laughs. There's one day, really, for them that matters, the day when they will be judged. But verse 18, the Lord knows the days, plural, of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. And the psalm sees the difficulty that we live with, the difficulty of living in a world where the evildoer seems like the native tree. The psalm, it talks about hunger and lack of money and threats of violence. And it says, whatever is happening, put your confidence in the Lord and in his land and in your ultimate forever place in that land. And the radical suggestion really for now is to make Jesus your everything. Make the Lord what life is all about. Verse 39, verse 40, where the psalm ends, it says, salvation it is from him, and refuge it is in him, from him and in him. There is no better place to be when the wicked are doing well and life is hard than to be in Jesus and to be heading to his perfect future world with a secure place reserved for those who wait patiently for him. So let me finish in verse 4. Look down at verse 4. Here's the verse I'd love for us to spend the afternoon thinking about. See, although for a time, the evildoer, he may have more money than you, he may have more status than you. Even if that's the reality, you can train your heart to delight in other things. Or verse 4, to delight in a person. See, the fretful person is anxious about money and clothes and how tall they are and the other things in Matthew 6. But instead, you can delight in the Lord. And you can make your regular prayers less about the things you're anxious about and more about him. Please give me more of you. Would your name be hallowed, your will be done, your kingdom come. And there is no shortage now or then in the future of how much he will give you of himself. That is the 100% guaranteed prayer all of the time. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. If what your heart wants is him, then he will give you everything you want. And the things that he will give you, if it's him, it is the best things you could have. In him are all the good things that we were made for. So the righteous, they sometimes have little, and the wicked sometimes have much. But little with the Lord, that is far, far more, and his reward is eternal. Let me lead us in prayer before our final song. Our Father, thank you that you are infinitely good and eternally secure. And pray, our Father, that even in this life full of trial and difficulty, you would train us to delight ourselves in you. And we thank you for your generosity, that if that is the desire of our hearts, you give us abundantly out of all your riches. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.